has it.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome. We've got Ross, Greg, and Brian on the call so far.
Oh, good.
Did you see Ross's last email that he sent?
Yes.
Got it.
I haven't had a chance to actually read the document, but I didn't see the email.
Well, why don't we go ahead and get started. Ross, you want to go through and walk us through your proposed changes?
I think we did that last week, didn't we, Brian? I was actually hoping that we could get some feedback from the other constituencies that we didn't get a chance to get to last week.
Fine. Let's do that.
Well, I'm the only other constituency, right? I was in the call last week. I'm not sure what you're talking about because I was there.
Yes. All right. Well, what we can do is look at Ross's draft, and maybe Greg, if you want to talk about what the amended. I guess what we're looking at, Ross, is not so much your notes, but the amended IPC proposal. Correct.
Correct. The that I sent out on the. I guess it was last Friday.
I'm looking at the one in your chart that you sent around either last night or this morning.
So that was that document is a compare and contrast of the existing policy and the current the recommendations that pursuant to your comments that they weren't helpful. I thought it would be useful to compare and contrast the existing policy with the recommendations that or the amendments to your proposal that we put forward to hopefully clarify around that.
Right.
So ideally, I don't think there's anything new there other than to draw that utility into relief. So I was hoping to get a better sense from the IPC what the opposition is, because it's completely unclear at this point.
Okay. Just giving you, not speaking for the IPC, because I haven't gotten their feedback on this yet, but looking at the, A, and maybe this is, maybe we need to go back farther, but it seems to me, I'm looking at the your chart in policy A, when a registrar receives a complaint about the accuracy of registrant data via the HUA data problems reporting system, in the third to last line where it says registrar may place the domain name on hold or cancel the registration, I think that should be mandatory language.
You
yeah.
Looking at line number four here?
We're looking at two different documents. I'm looking at your chart.
That yeah, that's right, but you're looking at line number four in that chart. Is that right?
I'm looking at the fourth box.
Okay, right. There's a reference column there. The first column is just, so that's what I meant by line number four. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I see your numbers. Line number four, middle column, bottom block, versus registrar may place the domain name on hold. Maybe that should be shall. Either shall place it on hold or cancel it. But must first, add the word first, allow the registrant 30 days to respond. I think that might be something that would be more useful, because otherwise, if it says may, then the registrar doesn't have to do anything. And I, you know, and that means that it's kind of meaningless.
And how does that differ from what the current policy is? I'm not quite sure that I follow.
All I'm saying is we have this proposed language that's
yeah.
going to talk about what to do if there's inaccurate data.
That's right.
I think that by saying that it's permissive,
mm-hmm.
mandatory, shall, it's meaningless. Because the registrar doesn't have to do anything.
Correct.
So I think that if you make that change, that would at least mean that that provision can have some impact. Otherwise, it really won't.
Well, so help me understand that, Brian. So under the existing policy, we have some equally permissive requirements, and statistically, we've got quantifiable data that outlines that we are making strides toward accuracy. So I'm not quite sure how I understand your claim that having permissive requirements lends to inaccuracy when in fact the facts are directly the opposite.
Look at paragraph 3.7.8, which is the existing policy.
Yeah.
And you'll see that it says it uses mandatory language and not permissive language. So I think that proves my point.
Where's that?
Well, for example,
3.7.8.
Registrar shall.
Where? Abide by any specification. Sure, absolutely.
Okay. And then next sentence, registrar shall.
Sure.
A notification.
Well,
last sentence, in the event learns of inaccurate contact information,
take
it
reasonable
shall
stands.
Take reasonable steps to correct that inaccuracy.
Absolutely.
So, following, consistent with that, I think we should have mandatory language here. These are just, comments.
You can't take, that's completely out of context, Brian. You can't pick and choose words from unrelated passages of the agreement. I'm talking about a direct comparison here. And certainly there's mandatory requirements. Registrars must pay $6 for a domain registration, full stop. But when you're talking about taking away rights and privileges from registrars and registrants, I'm not game for that.
I'm saying, you can either place it on hold or cancel it, but you have
That's
to
right.
do one or the other, it seems to me, if you're going to improve accuracy.
But we're improving accuracy today under the permissive requirements.
What's that?
We're improving accuracy today under the permissive requirement.
Right. But it seems to me it would be...
So then what is the basis for the requirement to make it absolutely mandatory? If we're, in fact, achieving the goals today, would it not be more reasonable to suggest that no changes be made? So, in other words, we're making what I would view as a very reasonable offer to help your constituency achieve its requirements, and what I see coming back is a complete pushback on that because it doesn't suit to the letter the exact specification of what it is that you're looking for, and I don't think that's appropriate. I would like us to meet in the middle here, and what we're saying is we're happy to fulfill those requirements, but in some instances, some of these conditions must be made optional.
Ross, that's a ridiculous statement. I mean, we had 12 proposals in the preliminary report. The registrars wouldn't negotiate regarding any of them, and now we're talking about very...
Oh, excuse me, Brian, not negotiate? I've been talking to you for 8 months now. Don't tell me what I'm willing and not willing to do. And please, don't speak on behalf of my constituency.
Obviously, I'm not. But I think the record, in terms of what we proposed and what the registrars were willing to do, I mean, it speaks for itself, and it's all public, so just leave it at that. All I'm saying is I think it needs to be mandatory here if we're going to have any further incremental effect in terms of improving data accuracy.
Okay, well, it doesn't speak for itself.
Ross, I'm just giving you my comment.
Brian.
Right.
Your comments are your opinion.
Right.
Okay.
But I thought we were supposed to, you asked me to give you my opinion, didn't you?
Well, that's fine, but don't put words in my mouth.
Okay. Well, let me finish. Going to point B in your amendment, the registrar amendment to the IPC proposal. You talk about the registrar shall verify the accuracy of at least. This is after there's been a complaint and the registrant has responded with updated data.
Yep.
As the registrar shall verify the accuracy of at least one of the following three updated data elements. Is there any possibility of doing two elements? Because if there's two elements that remain inaccurate, then we're just going in circles, right? But anyway, so that's one comment. And let's see. Yeah, then you say if one element remains inaccurate, registrar should verify one of the other elements, et cetera. And then it says if the contact information remains inaccurate or unverified, the registrar may place the domain name on hold or cancel. I think at that point it should be canceled. I mean, here we are, there's been a complaint, they've responded, and the information remains inaccurate. At some point, it seems to me there should be teeth, and if they're not willing to give you the accurate data at that point, then, it's not like they're not on notice or anything. It's in the original contract when they register, and it seems to me at that point it should be mandatory, and I think I would just at that point get rid of the domain name. Well, I suppose you could. It'll give you some flexibility if you want to say shall place the domain name on hold or cancel. But I think there, my comment is, and I imagine that the IPC is going to agree with that, is that it should be mandatory as opposed to permissive. Then the question I have about your point number two, about additional steps to verify and correct inaccuracy. You basically say you can provide expedited verification and correction. You can charge a fee, and you advise the complainant of these steps that you use to contact the registrant. I mean, there again, I think it should be mandatory in point number two there. Shall immediately place the domain name on hold. Those are my comments on this. And that's without the IPC having gotten back to me on that. But those are my comments. I don't know whether Greg has anything he wants to add or subtract from that.
When would you expect to hear back from the IPC, Brian?
Well, I sent it to them as soon as I got it.
Sure.
I don't know. Hopefully, it'll be soon.
Okay. Well, I have a general comment. So far, we have input from two constituencies. I don't think you can reach a consensus with input from only two constituencies. So I think this is.
I would take that one step further, Greg. I think I agree with you. I apologize. I'll let you finish. I'm sorry.
Three, including me, but it's not enough. I mean, I don't think we're getting enough participation in this task force. And the ISPCPs have their own take on all of this, but I think that we're the only people that show up anymore, the three of us, and I don't know that this we can arrive at anything that's really meaningful with just the input of three constituencies.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I don't know what to do about that either. If someone has suggestions, I'm open.
I was just going to say, Greg, that I concur completely. And, you know, it's almost to the point where I would question the utility of the task force. I don't think we're at that point yet, but it's certainly coming closer. And I'm not sure, maybe Barbara would have some guidance on this, but I'm not aware of any precedent within the GNSO where lack of participation has been an issue like it is here.
I've been dismayed at the way that this task force has been proceeding, just because it really is sort of the first failure of the process that I can recall, you know, where people just sort of stopped participating. I think we do need to go back to council on this and really be very explicit and say, look, we've only got three constituencies participating on a regular basis, and they are at loggerheads in terms of reaching agreements, and therefore there's no productive consensus policymaking taking place.
I think that's a little bit of an overstatement at this point. I mean, here we're talking about a few words here and there on this policy, at least with respect to the IPC trying to, you know, accommodate what the registrars are looking for here.
I think you guys have been making efforts to find compromise. I'm not trying to make it sound like you're being obstructionist, but I do think that there are some very fundamental disagreements between you two on, you know, what the right way is to proceed with the language choice, and that you're not getting enough input from the rest of the community to determine whether, you know, support for making compromise move in one direction or another. And you know, so you're both representing your communities very well, but that doesn't progress us that much further ahead in the actual, you know, crafting of the policy at this point. I think that we've kind of reached a limit point for the ability of you two in particular to negotiate this without at least some additional perspectives from the community about you know, what the community sees as the appropriate direction to go, more in the direction of mandating these things or more in the direction of permissiveness. And you know, it's you two can argue about that a lot and make very good arguments about it, but I think that that's still fundamentally a registrar IPC argument, not a community argument, if we don't get additional input. So I really would recommend going back to council and having council at least make the recommendation that each constituency renew their efforts to participate in this, that it's fundamental to getting the work done.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
You know, I would also like to encourage that we do as much on, you know, on the list as possible, because you know, I've just seen Task Force 1 and 2, the Joint Task Force, actually get something done on the list, which was truly impressive. but it involved a number of different people chiming in on the issue in question and really, you know, finding a compromise that fit the needs of the different constituencies involved. And then the one person who didn't participate in that online who came to the discussion during the call really was behind the ball. You know, it just did not have as much of a grasp on what the conversation had already been today, what the issues had been rehearsed, you know, and so everybody had to kind of go through it again for that person, but not to the same extent as and without the hostility that is sometimes apparent when things are just being worked out in the moment. You know, so that everybody sort of understood everybody's position going into the discussion, and they had already worked out what they thought was an appropriate compromise, and the difficulties of that compromise had already been discussed through the list. It definitely made it easier to make progress and adopt something. So that's my recommendation is that I think we should go back to council. Council has a meeting tomorrow. And we can say to them, you know, look, we're at a point where you know, we're very close to finding language on at least one of the issues, but we need community input on this to determine, you know, which is to be given greater weight, which set of terms are to be given greater weight, and that it's really not appropriate for three constituencies to either determine this for everybody else.
I think it might make sense to go back to council and have them urge the representatives to participate in the call and on the list.
Yeah.
I don't think that council at this point should make a decision as to the language. I think rather we should try to hammer it out, and if we can't, you know, we can't. But and then take that issue up to the council. But it seems to me to pull the plug on that at this point doesn't make much sense.
Right, and I'm not suggesting that we should. I am saying we should make the appeal to have everybody come back and participate.
Right.
And really, you know, give it their thoughts. And then if at that point there's no compromises, you know, available to people, then yeah, you do definitely take the issue, you know, to council as an issue. Or you say this is the finding of the task force that it can go in one of these two directions. You know, it can be this language, which is more permissive, or this language, which is more mandating. And, you know, which direction do you want to pick and have council make that decision? But I think without, you know, I mean, I would encourage you to go back to council and have them reinforce with everybody that it's important that the task force be fully.
All right, that's fine. What I'll do, Bruce had asked me to send him a couple paragraphs about, you know, where we are, and I guess what I'll do is just send him, maybe I'll just send him this chart and indicate that we're talking about these points, although that may be a little bit misleading because there may be more, some of what the IPC had in its proposal is no longer included, and I mean, I do think we want to at least discuss that issue amongst ourselves and see if there's any room to pursue some of those issues, but I'll let them know that we need participation from the other constituencies because there's only three of us on the call, and that's not enough to really get anything done, and then we can try to hammer this thing out in the next week or so and be done with it, because I do think we're at a point where we need to either get something done or just move on with our lives. So I'll let them know that we need the participation, and, you know, obviously, Barbara, you're going to be on the GNSO call, right?
Yeah, I'll be on the call.
You can put in a plug for that as well.
I think it needs to be made clear that failing that renewed interest, that our likelihood of moving forward is relatively slim.
Well, I mean, I think that it is.
Fortunate Barbara's analysis. I think it's very astute and probably merits further discussion at the council level on that particular point.
Well, we don't need to make this task force the test case at this point. We can just make an appeal for renewed participation, and then if at the end of that appeal we find that it wasn't productive, that we didn't get the participation, and that it's still the same participants stuck at the same point in the argument, then we can go back to council and say, you know, look, this task force isn't able to complete its work because of these reasons. And, you know, we can give you our findings up to date and ask council to complete the work, or we can, you know, just pose it to you as a process problem and you guys figure out what you want to do and, you know, solve it.
Absolutely. And as long as the basis of that appeal is understood, then, you know, I think we stand getting that renewed commitment that we're looking for. That's right. All I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, I think that if people understand, if council understands that the task force is in, you know, is in danger of failing simply because of non-participation, that will urge people to come back to the table.
Yeah, that's fine. And I'll go back to the IPC and see if they can maybe come up with a final position on this proposal and send that to the list. And then, you know, we'll at least know where that is.
And Brian, take note of the where the counter proposal dropped off things that the IPC considers
significant, you know, make note of that, but let's try to focus just on what the language is here that we can work on and maybe agree to, and then, you know, we'll have at least three constituencies saying this is appropriate language, and when the others join us, you know, we can ask them if there are concrete objections or if they're willing to adopt the
language. Let me ask you, Ross, on this issue of this mandatory versus permissive, what's your bottom line on that? Because, I mean, I think we kind of need to know that. Is it just impossible to have a mandatory provision that says that if they don't provide the accurate information in 30 days, that it must be placed on hold?
What I have, you know, I can't give you a straight answer on that, Brian, unfortunately, because it depends in part on how this plays into the existing deletes policy, the existing grace periods, and the WIS data reminder policy, and I've just not done that analysis. So if the outcome is that domain names must be deleted, but there's recourse for the registrants, i.e. our customers, it might be a suitable outcome, and I'm just not there yet.
Ross, for the Section 2, the additional steps to verify and correct inaccuracy,
mm-hmm.
in the expedited process, Brian had suggested that that there the mandatory language might be appropriate because of all the additional steps being taken.
With Section 2, I have no issue. As long as it remains an optional, if I don't have to offer the service,
right,
then I'm not bound to the outcomes, and a registrar can't rightfully complain about the effect on their customers, right?
Right. Yeah. If they offer the service, then that's, you know, they're accepting the. So Brian, where it says registrar immediately places domain name on hold, you could probably add in the language must there.
Right. Okay. Well, let me take this back and at least on these narrow points, see if we can. Get back to you with our proposed revisions to that, and then hopefully, you know, we can see if there's a basis to at least wrap up these basic recommendations and move on. So, and I'll send a couple of paragraphs to Bruce, and
I also think it'd be worthwhile to send a note to our list saying, you know, because of lack of participation, we are going to counsel with this request, and we urge everybody to show up at the next meeting and you know, just let everybody know what the status of things is.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
All righty.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.